Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Coming up on TMS, just about got to see John's wick.
A claw to the sack.
Bill only has small nuts.
The Daylight Savings Rebellion.
There can only be one BG.
This watch gives me wood.
That's not a snossage.
Let's toss this copper.
Rushing to draw a line in the sand.
How do you inhale with your butt?
Get ready to get a frickin' claw to your sack.
I'll own an anvil before I own a house.
Purple hair, don't care.
Finding Stephen Barnes with Bill and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Well, I just had got done feeding my chickens, watering them and stuff, and I walked back to my house there to get my phone so I could play a video game on it.
Well, I'm a cop, you're a terrorist. It's just a matter of supply and demand, just good old-fashioned commerce, that's all.
This is The Morning Stream. Yo, bartender, Jobu needs a refill.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to TMS. It is morning. It is Morning Stream.
It is morning.
It is morning.
It is morning.
It truly is morning. It's only, I mean, as of yesterday, or if it was the day before yesterday, it'd be 8:13 in the morning.
That's right.
Because we had daylight saving. It's a switch over there business, and it sucks. So here's my theory. I got a theory. I posted this last night on Twitter, and I'm going to go off again. Here's my thing.
All right.
We're all sitting around waiting for governments to decide whether you keep doing the switchy or not, okay, with the daylight saving and the freaking standard time and all this bullshit.
Yep.
They're the ones up there undulating, going, oh, we should introduce it in a bill and tack on a bunch of other shit. And okay, I get it. I get that's what you do. We don't need to wait for them. We just do it. What are they going to do?
Big deal.
So the government doesn't do it.
That's a great mentality of just deciding as a group or as a mob, if you will, to go ahead and just do something without...
That's what I'm saying. Screw the man. We have
totally
the power.
Worked on January 6th. I think, you know, we can do it again.
These are not the same. This is a non-violent... attempt to take over any government or hurt anybody. It's literally just stop doing it. We all stop, they stop. And if you say to yourself, well, hold on, Scott, my computer and my phone automatically change. Mm-hmm. You know what you can do? You can manually turn it the other way. I got an old watch on my wrist today that does that. I had to go in here and twisty and get it to the right thing.
I got one of those. I like that one.
Yeah. These are great, aren't they?
All wood.
Yeah. They're all made out of some secret tree or some weird thing like that.
Out of a secret tree.
Something like that. But anyway, like, come on. It's on us. We don't wait for them. Take it, the power back, everyone.
Gotham, take your daylight saving time back.
Because they clearly can't do it. It's the easiest thing in the world for governments to decide on. It would be so easy. Now, maybe the whole rest of the world doesn't, but who cares? We do it state by state here. Arizona's already got the right idea, except they've got the old time, which we don't like as much. We like this one. So maybe that's the problem.
See, that's the thing. People in the chat room have kind of gone back and forth both directions. Like, no, I want to keep daylight saving time. No, I want to keep standard time. So, there's one decision that has to be made amongst the people.
Right.
And, you know, the people haven't been so good at making decisions and being all on one side or the other lately.
Feels like it. Maybe what we do is we just adopt GMT and just do the decimal point crap. Like whatever it is you do over there. Like just one time is everyone's time. I forget what it's called, but it's based on the GMT thing. GMT time.
The Greenwich Mean Time, really? Wait. So basically, we would all... You mean the plus or minus? Oh, you're talking UTC, where we basically...
Yes.
It's 8 o'clock here, it's 8 o'clock there, it's 8 o'clock on the other side of the world, etc.
Yeah, do that. I don't think... There are not too many things steeped too deeply in our culture where we can't figure it out. You know what I'm saying? Because if we say, hey, it's at 9 p.m., but they won't be PMs or AMs, though. It'd be like, it's 35.
Okay, so we would do 23 o'clock and that sort of thing.
Yeah, or I don't even know if we would call it a clock. We just say, hey, it's 2100. The show's on. And everyone knows what that means. We just all know what it means.
Yeah.
I'm ready for it. I want this in my lifetime. Hurry up. Hurry the hell up.
We can't even agree. We can't even get all the states to agree on how to dole out the vaccine.
Yeah.
And we want the world to use one time.
Apparently we did all right, though, the other day, Thursday, was it? They had a single day record of 4.5 million vaccines distributed, which was a...
Oh, that's great.
That's a huge number, yeah.
That's because they employed a bunch of blow dart champions, lined them all up, and basically they would get... 100 people in a line, turn around, expose their buttocks.
Yeah.
And then, all right, move next.
Yeah. Get your butts up here. Shoot the darts. Done deal.
Inhale, Fred.
Wayne, how does Fred inhale with his ass? Oh, no, not his mouth. No.
I wasn't talking about the butt. I was talking about the blow dart guy.
Oh, the pitcher, not the catcher.
Inhaling. Yes, exactly.
Well, anyway, so that's my rant there. And let's see if anything comes of it. Probably nothing will happen. All right. I saw that you guys got like 400 billion pounds of snow. What happened there? What's that about?
God, it was crazy. Yeah, we got, by our count here, I would say unofficially, we didn't go out and measure it. We went out and shoveled 3 times yesterday, and I went out once this morning. I'd say probably a good 2 feet, maybe 2.5 feet. It's compressing. It's beautiful, wet, heavy snow, which is great for building snowmen. It's great for falling backwards into a truss fall into the pile of snow you just shoveled.
Yeah.
But it's a beast to shovel, to lift.
I put your GIF up on the screen so people are seeing you fall back into the, embankment there. It's pretty good.
Yeah. Ro asked me last night, in the raid that didn't happen, if my back hurt from doing that. It's like, no, actually, it really was like falling onto a very soft mattress, because this snow is so wet that 12 inches of snow compresses into about 6 inches of pack.
Yeah.
Of snowpack.
It looks comfy. I love laying in snow in a coat like that. Oh,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Except you got jeans on. That's a dangerous proposition. Jeans will...
Yeah, it came basically when that was after shoveling, so I was done. I didn't have to stay outside any longer getting cold. I went inside, and I made a trail of clothing, gloves, hat, jacket, pants, straight to the bedroom where I put on pajama pants, and that's what I was wearing the whole rest of the night.
You're like a little kid. I love it.
Yeah, totally. Just like a little trail of clothes from the back door all the way to the... or the garage door all the way to the bedroom.
Well, we haven't had a storm like this winter at all. And we didn't get anything while you guys were getting hit. We had a little cold temperature stuff here in the last few days, but no snow, really. Not really. A little dusting, but weird.
You guys lucked out. It's funny because I thought it was going to pass right through you guys to get to us. It usually does, but it circled around. And
yeah, you usually get our sloppy winter seconds.
We do, exactly. Yeah. Went up through Wyoming. Wyoming apparently got a ton as well.
Well, those guys, they're those bastards with their big open ranges and their cowboys and whatnot, they deserve They deserve it.
Exactly.
Well, all right.
The good
then.
News is we get a little bit more tomorrow, and then it starts warming up through the whole rest of the week. Saturday it'll be like 60. So,
oh wow.
Everything we see now will probably be gone by the weekend.
Well, that's awesome. Very exciting. Listen to this. I have a quick email I want to read before we get to Brian.
Oh, cool. Okay.
That's a brief one. Hold on, I'm going to bring it up where I put it. Here it is.
We got a brief email.
This is from Corin Y. Corin? K-O-R-R-E-N-Y. Here, I'll paste it.
Corin, or so Corin, maybe.
Or it could be Corin, yeah. Says this. Hey, guys, I love the show. Do you think it's okay to take a shower with your dog? Is that weird? Could it be seen as two birds, one stone sort of thing? Love your take, and whether or not either of you have ever taken a shower with your dog before. Yours in Mondo. Corin, I don't know what Mondo is.
I don't either. Yours in Mondo.
Because some you might say yours in Jesus or whatever, and that so maybe it's a god, or he's saying, I live in a place called Mondo.
Could be, yeah.
All right, I don't know. Anyway, right, Corin and Mondo. Wherever.
Maybe he's a Mondolorian. Who knows?
Could be. It is the way I've heard. So what do you... I say I've done this once, and it was a bad scene. I thought I could... It was literally to kill two birds with one stone. I thought the idea could be it's a closed space. Mm-hmm. I can really get in there and scrub her down, you know? Like, really go for it and not worry about
getting all
wet.
Because you don't have to worry about getting your clothes all wet and that sort of thing.
Right. Yeah. But if your dog is at all, like... skittish in bathing, like if they're gonna freak out and claw and all that, it's a bad scene. So that did not go well for me, I guess is what I'm saying. I ended up cutting up my legs and stuff. So
I've never taken a shower with my dog. I don't think I'd have a problem with it. I mean, it would probably be weirder for her than it would be for me, because she is a dog that seems to get weirded out by things easily. Mm. Or at least she just has these looks on her faces like she gets weirded out.
Well, like, she hates see baths you get the anyway, shower so with her, and she'd just be like, what are we even doing in here?
What is going on in here? Yeah. Why are you naked? It's bad enough.
I didn't think of that, but
depends on the dog. Depends on the dog, but here's when I could see it happening. Like, you go out after a big heavy rain and you're all muddy and the dog's all muddy, and it's like, you know, you I guess you're gonna be all muddy, your clothes, but not your body. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah,
it does seem kind of weird.
I don't think I'm in the habit of doing it, but why this person would ask that is really the bigger question. It's a strange thing to ask people. But
J.K. Grammer says you're not supposed to be naked when bathing with your dog. I think Karen Y is naked when they shower with their dog.
Yeah, I think that's what they mean.
Yeah,
that's what I would think.
Two birds, one stone. He's not saying I'm just going to get in there and wash the dog in my swim trunks. I think it's like I'm going to wash me and I'm going to wash the dog same time.
Yeah, yeah. I think you're thinking your shower is the dog shower. You're both done at the same time. That's what Corin's saying. Now, if you got a gigantic dog, forget it. I guess it depends on how big your shower is. If you got a dog that just sits there and takes it, maybe this is fine. This maybe is fine. But if you've got him, if he's skittish at all, get ready to get a freaking claw to the sack, is what I'm saying.
Exactly.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to bend over to wash the dog, and that's when things just get kind of weird.
Brian and his reverse cheeseburger story really comes
out.
There.
That's one of those things that just stays with you, the old reverse cheeseburger.
Yeah, I can't get rid of it. It's permanently in my brain.
We saw a movie that had one this weekend.
Yeah. Oh, you did you? Well, we're going to get to those too today. We're going to talk about Oscar
nominations. No, I'm talking about Keanu Reeves The Devil's Advocate. We got a little bit of reverse Keanu cheeseburger.
Yeah, he needs to. I always thought of him as a bit of a shaved down seal, like just no body hair kind of guy. No, he's got a hairy butt. Very hairy butt. If you've seen Devil's Advocate, you know what I'm talking about.
Just about got to see John's Wick.
Yeah. Him and Furiosa and Maximus's wife switching back and forth.
That's right, exactly.
It's an odd movie. Yes. What an odd movie. It really stuck with me, though. That must mean it was good, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Something,
I liked it. I didn't hate it.
No.
So who am I to judge? Nobody, that's who. All right. Hey, guys at home, what if we brought Brian Dunaway in and earned prizes for our listeners? And you're thinking, what? I'm listening right now. How do I play? 801-471-0462 is how you play. And if you do things right, you might win, depending on how me and Brian do in today's edition of Babel Royale. Join us now as we play a little Battle Royale with our good pal, Brian Dunaway from South Carolina. Hello, Brian.
Hi, pal. Hello. Oh, hi, Scott and Brian.
Pal of ours.
Hi, bud.
Hi, buddy. Do you have anybody you call buddy in your life? Like, even when you're boys?
Yeah. Hey, buddy. Hey, pal. Yeah. No, I don't call anybody buddy. That's weird. What am I, a Canadian?
I call Nick bud all the time.
I'm like, oh, dude. Hey, I'll say, hey, bud, what's going on? I'll say that all the time to him. I
call everybody dude and man.
Dude and
doesn't
man.
Matter who you are. Dude. Hey, mom. Dude.
Yeah.
Man.
I say dude to my wife all the time. People get mad at me because on the show, I think, I referred to somebody who was trans. I don't remember who it was. Somebody in our audience.
Yeah, I do that too because I call everybody dude, man. Yeah. I'm like, I'm not trying to respond with anything here.
No. Because I call everybody, all the women in my life, the close women.
That's awesome.
I call Nicole my dude. I call all the ladies I know, I call dude.
And they call me this.
They call me dude.
Most reasonable people do not get upset. So,
you're right. Reasonable is not part of our...
Don't crash down on nobody because most reasonable people understand.
Oh, one more question I got for you. What happened to Folger's crystals? Do those exist? Oh. Can you go get a thing?
You still can, and I've had recipes like for a coffee, like coffee brownies that use Folger's crystals or espresso. Instant espresso, things like that. So,
but is anyone using to make like coffee anymore? Like a cup of coffee?
Absolutely.
Yeah, wouldn't be surprised. Yeah.
Okay.
Of course they do.
I thought it died with my grandmother. Honestly,
no. The coffee that Tina drinks every day is the Dewey Egbert's Pure Gold. I got her hooked on it because that was my coffee for a long time until I switched back to ground thanks to Kahawa.
Yeah.
But that's freeze dried.
Oh, okay. And, so that's all crystals is freeze-dried coffee. That's all that is.
It's still the really best is. For waking up.
Folgers in your... Yeah, you're right. But what's the other one? Who's the other brand that had the great song?
Tasters. Well, Folgers had... You mean that had another great song? Because
Folgers is it.
Okay, that's Folgers.
But yeah, Folgers in your cup.
What's the other one I'm thinking of?
There's
another 80s...
Good to the last drop. Oh, Chock Full of Nuts.
Chock Full of Nuts.
That's the best one. Chock Full of Nuts is the heavenly coffee.
Maybe I'm thinking of Maxwell House.
Better coffee a millionaire's money can't buy.
I don't remember. Yes, Maxell's cassettes.
Maxell cassettes.
We have on the line with us.
Drink.
We have a listener on the line with us who is going to play this game with us. I know, right? Save us from ourselves. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
This is Dave from North South Texas. How are you doing,
hey,
sir?
Hey, Dave. Good to have you here. How are you?
Well, which is it, North or South Texas?
Yes.
Basically, the northern part of South Texas. As north as you can get before it's called Central Texas.
Oh, I get you. So you got that's kind of fun, though. I like that. That's like saying,
That's a thing.
Yeah.
That's a thing. We do that here in South Carolina, too.
But you actually have a state called South Carolina, so you can be from North South Carolina.
Texas could be like five subdivide. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you think Texas, sorry, this is a little off the beaten path. Do you think Texas ever gets its wish and becomes its own country? Do you think that ever happens?
No.
Okay. I'm glad because we like having you with us. We're happy to have Dave here. Well, Dave, we're going to play a game. We're going to try to win you some prizes. And the way that works is Brian will explain the rules and what you could win.
Yes, that's right, Scott. I'm going to be giving Scott and Brian a topic. They're going to go back and forth, giving me answers that fit that topic. If one of them gives a wrong answer, a repeated answer, or they take too long to come up with an answer, the win will go to the other player. Dave, your job is to actually decide between North and South and predict who's going to come out on top based on the topic. Today, you're playing for games from Steam, courtesy of Wesley, Val Ferris, and The Wild 8.
The
Wild Eight.
Yeah, the
I've
Wild
seen
Eight's
some stuff
good.
About this one.
Yeah,
that
one's
interesting.
Good. Yeah. The other, I don't know about the first one, but the second one is a quality product.
Excellent. Well, you'll get at least one good game, according to these guys.
Yeah.
But before they can start, I need to give them a topic. This one comes to us courtesy of listener Icor, Kevin Chu, in our chat.
Icor!
In our chat pool.
Yeah.
He says, hey, Brian, here's one for Babel Royale. Everyone says they love Rush, but how many Rush studio albums do you think Scott or Dunaway can name, especially albums? I'm not going to say the name of that one. He says, I personally was only able to name about half and only three after a certain point. I'm gonna do you guys a little bit of a favor, and I'm going to expand it to
studio.
Live albums.
Live albums. Okay, good.
Studio and live. Okay.
Okay. Oh boy.
There are, I'll tell you, in my list. Oh, did I delete the list? Oh, I didn't delete the list. There are 30 Rush albums.
Okay.
Going all the way back to 1974. I want to see how many of these you can name.
Okay.
Dave.
Okay.
How comfortable do you guys feel with this, first of all?
I really like Rush, but I know a fair number of albums, but they're all like they're all concentrated in a certain part of my life, and it's the ones I associate with, and so I think I'm going to be fair to middling here.
Okay. That's
probably about where I'm going to be as well. I listened to Rush a little bit, but my friend, very, very close friend, huge Rush fan, and oh my God, we've listened to all the albums while we sit at his house, so I've sit and looked at the art, so I know. Okay.
Yeah, that's actually what I know better is I know them. I know the albums by cover design because they had some really cool album covers. All right, cool. And once again, studio and live albums, no compilations. So keep Rush's greatest hits out your mouth.
Okay.
Let that never come out. The words never come out of your face.
Greatest hits.
Dave, knowing that is their task. Who do you want to go first, and who do you think is going to win this one?
I think I'm going to go with Brian, and Brian to go first.
All right, Brian, all the confidence in your corner, sir.
Very good. I'm going to go with Roll the Bones.
Roll the Bones came out September 3rd, 1991, and we are off to the races. All right,
so we got, I'm just picturing Geddy Lee and Alex Lifeson up there doing their thing. You get that drummer guy whose name just escaped me.
Neil Peart.
I don't want you to describe them in concert. I want you to name their studio albums.
Well, Peart upside down and his big rotating drum machine of drums.
There's 2112. It's got a dog on there peeing on I think.
I always that's not the, that one.
Oh,
that's
a good one.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. 2112 has the dude standing in front of the pentagram. If I remember correctly.
Oh, right. But that is an album. Yes, I'm correct.
That is an album, okay. And it came out April 1st, 1976.
Okay. My friend had that on repeat. He loved that.
I think the P dog. I believe that was Signals.
Signals. That one it might be 1982, September 9th, 1982. Signals. I should pull up album covers because that one I don't know for sure. But continue on. You don't need.
All right. Well, there's continue. The big one that had the Tom Sawyer business on it, the Moving Pictures. Or was that?
That's a good one.
I think it
was
on there.
That's a classic.
Yeah. I'm not sure it was on there. But yeah.
That one came out February 12th, 1981. And that's a very memorable album cover with some guys moving pictures.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm getting an idea of when Scott was listening to this stuff. I'm going to go with Presto.
Presto.
Digitation.
That is 1989.
Got a bunch of bunny rabbits on it.
November 21st, 1989 is when Presto was released.
This is when I was in high school, and my best friend, every time the new album would come out, he would get very excited, and we'd have to go get the vinyls.
Yeah, this would have been junior high for me. So it's a very long time ago that I've had this moment in my life. But now we're getting to stuff that's a little harder.
Down to the nitty and the gritty.
There's a whole album based on that. Hold on. I can hear it. I think it's Fly By Night. Fly By Night.
There you go. Good job.
Isn't that one of those?
That's a cool rockin' 70s art in that one, if I remember correctly.
Yep, that's an owl flying at the camera. Yeah, or flying at the viewer.
Oh, okay. What do you got, Brian?
So Scott usually has been staying at the in the 70s and 80s stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And you've been doing the early, like late 80s, early 90s. It's interesting.
Yeah. I'm going to have to go with Power Windows.
Power Windows.
Is there one called Power Windows?
I hear those are standard. They're not aftermarket. Power Windows, 1985.
Not one of the better loved ones, but one of the most interesting cover arts.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm looking at the cover of that one right now. It's like a dude standing in his bare room with a bunch of TVs around him looking out the window.
All right,
non-power window, though, which is interesting.
A non-power window.
I'm worried that what I'm about to say might be a compilation or may not exist.
Oh, but yeah.
Okay.
But,
well, I'm just like a tour or something to be fine, right?
Yeah, but that's not what I'm thinking of. I don't even know if this is true. Did they ever have a self-titled album? So an album called Rush that wasn't a compilation.
Yeah, smart.
They did indeed. Their first album was indeed called Rush. Came out March 1st, 1974.
First album. Geez.
Didn't think about that. Okay. That's a good call.
Yes, and featured, that's right. Captain Kipper's been great about putting all the album covers in here with that just explosion. It looks like it's almost got Jack Kirby dots.
Oh, I love Jack Kirby dots.
And the logo Rush just jumping out.
Black Kirby dots are the best dots.
They are the best dots.
Yeah, more dots.
All got right, two more.
Yeah.
Okay.
Two more than Scott
gives me some kind of clue. I don't think he said this one already. He didn't say Grace Under Pressure, right?
He did not say Grace Under Pressure.
Good.
Such a great 90s sitcom starring the terrific Brett Butler. Grace Under Pressure, April 12th, 1984.
I can't believe you made a Grace Under Fire joke. That's fantastic. Really went deep on today.
Can you do an impression of her? Yeah.
No.
You can't.
You could down there. You could do
she
one.
She can almost. She's pretty. She's angry. She's a little bit
really,
southern.
Really deep voiced.
Yeah.
There you go. That's not bad. Yeah. She's getting there.
I'm Brett Butler.
All right, let's do I guess this would have been a live album, I think.
With Tossing Copper?
No.
Tossing Copper.
Wasn't Tossing Copper, was it? Well, throwing Copper.
Throwing Copper, yeah. But I love Tossing Copper.
Hucking Copper.
Euphemism for doing it.
Let's do Exit Stage Left, I believe, was live album. Yeah.
Indeed, it was a live album. Came out October 29th, 1981, just after Moving Pictures, and featured songs from live tracks.
Yeah, that's the one I think I heard the most growing up. So I always confused Exit Stage Left and that. And
that's a great album cover. Yeah. Like, featured the owl from Fly By Night, featured other references to earlier album covers. So it's so clever.
He must not have had that one. I don't remember that one at all.
That one's awesome.
That you're describing.
Really
really? Yeah, no, it's cool.
All right. I'm going to go with Test for Echo.
Test for Echo.
Much later.
Much later, yes. 1996 Test for Echo, September 10th is when that one came out. You guys have absolutely drawn a line in the sand, and you're staying on... on each of your sides of
we're staying in our decades.
Or the Rush landscape.
Yeah, basically the dividing line you've already given Exit Stage Left and Signals, which less than a year apart, and Scott's done everything before and you've done everything after.
Interesting.
Well, to continue this trend.
Okay.
I'm all out. So I'm gonna go ahead and say I'm sure it won't count, but Geddy Lee singing Take Off to the Great White North on the Great White North album. I don't know anymore. I'm all out. I have no more Rush. That's it. I'm dead.
That's it. And that gives our player the win. And
gosh dang it. That was a lot harder than I thought.
How was your duty?
Oh, whoops. That's not it.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
That's what I meant to play.
I think I had one more.
Oh, you do? Let's hear your other guesses. Yeah, what else did you have?
A Show of Hands.
A Show of Hands, January 9th, 1989. Was that... That was a live album, wasn't it?
Could have been. Could have been.
Do we miss any obvious ones? I feel like we missed... What's the one with the dog on it? Is that Signals?
You got that one. That was that was Signals. Yeah.
Okay. You got it, but you didn't get it right.
1975. All the World's a Stage. Their first live album.
Right.
Okay. Which is a great one. A Farewell to Kings. Hemispheres. Yeah. Permanent Hemispheres. Waves, which features the woman that they used on the cover of Exit Stage Left. Hold Your Fire.
Hold Your Fire. Jesus.
Counterparts. Different Stages, another great live album. Vapor Trails, Russian Rio, R30, the 30th anniversary world tour, Grace Under Pressure tour, Snakes and Arrows and Snakes and Arrows Live, too. That's a studio album and it's associated live album. Time Machine 2011, live in Cleveland, Clockwork Angels and its tour, and R40 live. So their 40th anniversary.
R40.
They've switched to doing lots of live albums, releasing lots of live albums.
I would have thought the R40 would have been a compilation. So I guess not.
Well, there was a compilation called
R40 Live. So R40, the album R40, I believe, is a compilation.
Interesting.
No, they actually never released an R30 or an R40 album. They just did a concert for their 40th anniversary. And
was Chronicles an album? Do I have that in my head?
Chronicles was a great compilation.
Compilation.
Okay. Interesting.
All right.
I totally forgot about that, so I'm glad
you were good to stay away from that.
When was their last new material? When's the last time they got together?
Last R40? New material, Clockwork Angels, in 2012.
2012. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that would have been, let's see, Neil Peart just passed away like a year ago.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Yeah, I guess that sounds right. Then they just kind of retired. And he's been
did a great, I would have said Feedback. Turns out Feedback is an EP, but that was an all cover album that I thought had, I don't know why they're calling it an EP. It had 8 songs on it. I mean, that's, you know, I guess that's half an hour.
So. Still pretty, pretty long.
I mean, yeah. That's 30 minutes per side, right? That's
right.
That's a season. That's a season of an AMC show or something.
That's right. Yeah, but that's a great cover album.
Well, Dave,
anyway,
you've won, and that means you run away with these prizes. That was fun.
I've been jonesing for some vinyl music stuff. I've been really digging through my vinyl lately.
You've been wearing vinyl? Okay. Yeah, putting on vinyl.
I don't have a rare vinyl. I've been enjoying getting all these new heavy vinyls, though.
Yeah.
Big heavy vinyls. What is it, the 135 gram or whatever it is?
Yeah. Hey, why don't you try a little vinyl? Why don't you try wearing a little bit of latex after that, Brian? Put a little latex on. I hear people are into
what
it.
That means.
Hey, Dave. congratulations. Send Brian an email, coverville@gmail.com. He'll send you your prizes, and you, sir, picked right this day. How does that feel?
Thank you. It feels great to win.
That's awesome.
Good talking to y'all guys.
Yeah, you too, man. Dave sounds like a guy I could hang out with. I hope one day we get to you. We'll see you later.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Thanks to Ikewar for that great one.
Yeah, well done.
I love it when they fall right in my wheelhouse. I don't give those often.
Yeah.
Not like you could tell me and say, hey, Brian, you should do a Babel Royale of this, because I know you'd be really good at it.
I just brought the chat back up, and Ikewar says 2012 isn't 100 years before 2112. I see what he's saying. Yeah. Because he was trying to figure out, like, if that album...
The end.
Their final... Yeah, the end was to coincide with the 2112 thing, but that wouldn't be right. Huh. Yeah, I don't know what the significance of that name was. But anyway, there you go. Alex Lifeson shows up on Trailer Park Boys all the time. He's been in and out of there for years. Yeah, it's great. They have a good time with that guy. well, there you have it. Brian Dunaway, tomorrow is a great day. Why? Because Brian Dunaway and I make a video game show called The Boop Show, and it happens tomorrow at 3:30 Mountain Time. You can watch it live, or you can check the podcast out later, where we review and talk about indie games, small efforts by little teams, which is some of the best stuff out there. So
it really
check
is.
It out.
Yeah. And Team 17 has my number this week with Rogue Heroes. I'm going to play... this almost is like a Zelda-like, but with co-ops.
I'm going to play a game, or I've been playing a game, and we'll be talking about a game called Nebuchadnezzar. And if that sounds like an old-ass history thing, well, you'd be right, because if you remember those city builders in the 90s from, I forgot who made them, crap. Anyway, those guys made amazing games like Caesar and
like Age of...
Not the age stuff, but Caesar
Empires,
3.
No, but yeah.
Pharaoh and the sequel Pharaoh got. Anyway, amazing old I forgot the name of the game. Damn.
So, company. So not Ranch Simulator then?
Not that. That's definitely not what I'm playing this week. I tried it.
I got a code for that as well. You said last week you might play it. Might
yeah, and I did.
Keyword.
I did. Let's just say it's a little too early. It's a little too early for that game. That needs some more time baking in the
oven. I wanted to play Valheim on a ranch is what I wanted. And I thought it almost kind of looked like that.
Yeah, it kind of, I mean, it's one of those where you know, it's basically another survival game, except in this case, you're building a ranch and hiring ranch hands and having cattle and shit like that. It's just very early access. Like, so
world builder sim. I miss, you know, I was thinking how much I missed that old Xbox Kingdom of Kelflings. I was like, oh, that was such a stupid fun game, and yeah. I need something like that in my life right now.
Well, Nebuchadnezzar is absolutely one of these, and I'm excited about it. It's a two-man team. It's already a
okay. Well, I also need it on the iPad, so fix that.
Yeah, too. Good luck. Good luck on that. That's gonna do it for us, Brian Dunaway. Have a fantastic day, and we'll see you next year. All right, he's gone now. Brian, we have to do this. It's time for the news, brought to you by...
Brought to you by Soundography, where Hammond and I don't do a regular show this week. We actually did a special episode, something normally that we would put on our Patreon feed, but because we have two movies we're doing this month, we decided we'd put this one on the regular feed. Hammond and I both watched the Bee Gees' How Can You Mend a Broken Heart documentary on... Showtime, I believe.
That was Max, and it no? Is, that was Max.
Is it on HBO Max? Maybe it's so. HBO Max. It is. You're right, HBO Max. And yeah. It's excellent. It's so good. So much of their history is before the whole Stayin' Alive and 70s pinnacle that they reached. And they had some great stuff and lots of problems with the band. But what's great about this documentary is all of the other people who show up. Justin Timberlake, one of the Oasis brothers, Noel Gallagher, I believe, talks about being in a band with your brothers and how it sucks. Yeah. And
worked out real good for them, turns out.
Yeah, it really worked out well. Yeah. So with one remaining BG alive to get interviews and stuff, go check out, check out the documentary first and then check out the Soundography episode where we talk about it.
What's who's the one remaining? Which BG
we
brother?
We still have... Morris.
Okay.
Morris. Yeah. I think we don't have, we've lost Barry and we lost, Robin. Oh, and Zoe says Barry's the one who's still alive. Is it Barry? I thought Barry Gibb died. No,
no Barry.
Did I get that? Did I miss that? Okay. Barry is the eldest still alive.
He is.
Barry.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. You look at Barry Gibb and he doesn't look like Barry Gibb anymore. I think that's what,
yeah.
What threw me off. Yeah. And Andy Gibb, who was only a BG for just a short time. He was actually killing it with a solo career on the charts at the same time, battling it out with his brothers in the Bee Gees. Finally, they said, hey, join us in the Bee Gees. And he died really shortly after that.
Well, that's what you get for joining the Bee Gees. No, that's not true. That's terrible. I guess it's okay to join the Bee Gees.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway. Oscar nominations happened this morning, and yes. We know what they are going to be now. This is all done by a couple of hosts named, let's find out.
Oh, it was Nick Jonas and Priyanka Chopra.
Yep, they're married, so there's that. So speaking of a brother from a band brother band.
Yeah, I think Nick Jonas might have been interviewed for the Bee Gees thing as well, if I remember correctly.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah,
there was a whole bunch of stuff here. The big takeaway for me is that freaking David Fincher is the man. His Mank led the pack with 10 nominations.
Yeah, and it's good. Be prepared for a very it's one of those movies that's told in not fully in sequence.
Yeah,
a lot of jumping back and forth. So, and it's one you've just got to pay attention to. It's all black and white, but. Gary Oldman's fantastic. He's nominated for Best Actor. Amanda Seyfried plays a very Marilyn Monroe-like character. She's playing a real character. I can't remember the actress that she's playing, but it's really, really good. And that one, what's great is a bunch of these you're able to see streaming right now. You can see Judas and the Blood. Well, up until last night, you can see Judas and the Black Messiah on HBO Max. We watched it last night.
Nice timing, by the way, HBO. It's like, hey, right up to the edge of the noms. And now if you hear about it, you're like, oh, I'm going to go pay for it now. I'm going to pay for it.
Right, exactly. Well, you know, they had it up there since December or something. I think that's fine. Mank, you can see on Amazon. No, that's on Netflix.
Netflix, yeah.
Nomadland you can see on Hulu. Sound of Metal, I think, is Amazon.
Amazon, I believe.
And Trial of the Chicago 7 is on
Netflix.
Netflix as well. Yeah.
So the rest of the Best Picture list, you've got The Father.
Yeah, that's not even available for VOD rental until later this month. So.
Right. And this is the one with Anthony Hopkins going through Alzheimer's or something.
Do I think so? Yeah. Okay. And Olivia Colman plays his daughter. And
right. I bet that's good. Minari. Don't know what that is.
We watched that this weekend. It's excellent. It's about a Korean family who come to America to look for the, to follow the American dream, buying a plot of land, farming, and it's Steven Yeun from The Walking Dead.
Oh, when, that explains all these photos of him in like old-timey clothes.
Yes. Okay. It's really, really good. And heartwarming, at times heartbreaking, but really, really good. And that's unfortunately one. I mean, we basically said, yeah, you know, we'd right now in a normal world, we'd be paying $20 a weekend or $20 a night to go and see movies in the theater.
Yeah.
Not true. We'd be doing AMC stubs. And so we'd have it all included, but
still the concept remains,
Still we'd be paying. So it's like, yeah, of all of these, let's just plunk down some money and see Minari. And we rented it last night.
Now he doesn't get his head smushed in by a big bat full of,
he does not. No, okay. No baseball bat wrapped in barbed wire. For his character.
Good. That makes me happy to hear that. Nomadland, which you've mentioned,
Frances McDormand poops in a bucket.
Yep, pooping in a bucket. We got Promising Young Woman. What is that?
That is very, very dark comedy by one of the showrunners of Killing Eve. I can't remember the actress all of a sudden, but she's playing a character that pretends to be drunk to have guys take her home so that she can teach them a lesson about not taking home a woman who's drunk and taking advantage of her.
Ooh, like revengey stuff. I like revenge. Very
revengey stuff, and it's really, really good. Mm. It's
wait, is this? It's not Michelle Yeoh. It's the other, or not?
Not Michelle Yeoh. It's the other one. And that's not a spoiler. That's you get that in the trailer. Hold on, I've got to look up who it is.
What's that old? It reminds me of that old Gatsby. Remember that old Hard Candy movie? That's what it reminds me of.
Yeah, Carey Mulligan. Yeah, very, very, very Hard Candy kind of the same thing. But this one's got Carey Mulligan. It's got Alison Brie, Clancy Brown, Jennifer Coolidge, Laverne Cox, Connie Britton. Such a great cast in this thing.
Clancy Brown, is he one of the guys that takes her home?
He is not. He plays her dad.
Oh, good.
Yes, you don't want to see Clancy Brown.
I really don't. I really don't. Mr. Krabs deserves better.
Next Greenfield from New Girl that you're in the middle of.
Yeah. Oh, we're almost done. And by the way, I got some news for you on that, Brian.
Yes. Yeah.
You're...
jump season, right?
The last season is the last season. Right. So last season picks up 3 years later.
Yes.
The time where she left was when she was pregnant in real life and had to have a baby, so she pretended she was on jury duty. Yeah, that was all fine. I didn't mind any of that.
Was it okay? I might have been conflating the two seasons.
But this last season, garbage.
Okay, good. All right, I feel somewhat redeemed.
It's not good.
Yeah,
or you know what? Or it's good and it's impossible to notice that it's good because the treatment of it and the 3 year bump and everyone's got kids now and like this that weird time jump really broke it, I think. So it's not so much that the humor or the writing is bad, it's all juxtaposed poorly. I don't know.
I think it's really hard to do a last season with a flash forward jump like that.
Yeah. Not only hard, I just think it's a bad idea.
It's a bad idea. Exactly. I mean, is it just because they want to tell a story? Like they've run out of stories to tell in the current timeline. They need to go into the future.
I don't know. That was weird. I mean, I like resolution. I like, you know, we were getting that slowly over time with Schmidt and his marriage and Winston and his upcoming nuptials and all that. But
yeah,
I don't know. I don't know what I want. I almost would have preferred that thing end with the previous season with them in the elevator kissing.
Yeah.
Because that's not a cliffhanger. That's a great ending. Mm-hmm. Like, you're done. We're done.
Oh, that's right. Parks and Rec did that. Did a flash forward. Did they do it for the whole last season or just...
it was like an episode or something.
Just an episode, but I think they did really, really well with that.
Yeah, it can be done right. I just think this is funky. Exactly. But anyway.
So that's Promising Young Woman. That one is also you got to pay to rent it, but it's worth it.
How about Sound of Metal? I thought that was a documentary. Is it?
Is not. No, it's a, and we haven't watched that one yet. That'll be this week. It is about a heavy metal drummer who starts to lose his hearing, played by Riz Ahmed. And
I heard about this.
Yes.
I didn't. And I conflated it with something else. I thought there was a documentary about this, but yeah.
Not to my knowledge. And this is getting such great buzz. We haven't seen it yet, but it's the other one that Ham and I are going to be watching for Soundography. So
I like that Riz Ahmed fella. He's great.
Yeah, he's great.
Trial of the Chicago 7, which I still haven't seen. You saw that, right?
Saw that a few weeks ago. And Sacha Baron Cohen, the dude from Succession is in there. Great cast. And there's even overlap between that and Judas and the Black Messiah, because one of the founders of the Chicago branch of the Black Panthers is a main character in the Chicago 7. And our main character in the trial is Chicago 7. So there's a little bit of reference between the two. They actually take place just a few months apart.
Hmm. I'm seeing a real lack of Five Bloods in here.
Yeah, it's a bummer because that was one. Tina and I almost watched that this weekend and said, thinking that it was going to be in here. But
they got original score, and that's about
it. That's it.
Yeah, I thought
Lee for best director.
Nothing but raves for that, as far as I've ever heard.
Yeah, it's Chadwick Boseman, you know, him in that, and Ma Rainey's Black Bottom being his two last performances. And
well, I'll rip through those real quick. Best actor in leading role, we got Riz Ahmed for Sound of Metal, Chadwick Boseman for Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, Anthony Hopkins for The Father, Gary Oldman for Mank, Steven Yeun for Minari. That's really cool for him to get a nomination.
Yeah, it's a great lineup, all those. Haven't seen Riz Ahmed yet, or Chadwick Boseman and Ma Rainey's, but...
Yeah, I hear he's nothing but amazing in it. Let's see. Yeah. Best actress in leading role, we got Viola Davis for The Black Bottom. Isn't she Ma Rainey's Black Bottom?
She's Ma Rainey in that, yeah.
All right, so it is her Black Bottom. Let's see. We got Audra Day for The United States versus Billie Holiday, which I heard her performance is amazing in. I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
Vanessa Kirby for Pieces of a Woman. Frances McDormand for No Man Land, where she left a few pieces of herself around the country. And Carey Mulligan for Promising Young Women. Best Supporting.
Right. They're all title characters, right? Viola Davis is Ma Rainey. Audra Day is Billie Holiday.
Yep.
Vanessa Kirby is the woman in Pieces. Frances McDormand is the nomad. Yep. And Carey Mulligan is the
The pieces are hers, right?
They're her pieces.
Okay.
Yeah.
Best actor, or sorry, actress in a supporting role. We got Marina Bakalova for Borat's movie film.
She's great.
Loved her in that. Yeah. She elevated that thing well beyond its purpose. She was fan freaking tastic in it.
Sacha Baron Cohen said in his Golden Globe speech, that movie gave us such a glimpse into a rising comedic star in the form of Giuliani.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that what he said? Is that how he ended it? That's fantastic.
That's what he said. He said, like, you thought he was going to be talking about Maria Bakalova, and he said, in such an incredible rising star in the world of comedy, Rudy Giuliani.
That movie, dude. Oh, she was so good, though. Let's see. Glenn Close for Hillbilly Edgley. You got Olivia Colman for The Father. Amanda Seyfried for Mank, as you mentioned her before. And Yoo Jung Yoon for Minari. We got Best Actor in a Supporting Role, Sacha Baron Cohen for The Chicago 7. Well, that's cool. Him and his daughter both get noms. Or his fake daughter.
Yeah, his fake daughter.
Let's see. You got Daniel Kaluuya for Judas and the Black Messiah. Is he was Get Out guy?
He was in Baku. What's that?
Is he the Get Out kid?
He's the Get Out guy, and he was also M'Baku in Black Panther, which is why it's funny that he's a leader of the Black Panthers in Judas and the Black Messiah.
That's pretty great.
Yeah.
I love it. MCU everywhere, baby. He was also really good in the first episode I ever saw, Black Mirror, was him in it. Wasn't the first episode in the order of the show, but it's the first one I saw, and it was the one where you
the bicycles.
You ride the bikes to earn points to whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
he was great.
That's a great one.
Yeah, first time I'd ever seen him. Let's see, we got. Where are we here? I lost my place. Oh yeah, here we go.
Leslie Odom Jr.
Yeah, Leslie Odom Jr. for One Night in Miami. Paul
plays, Racy. Sam Cooke.
Yeah, who's Paul Racy? And that name's familiar. Racy.
I don't recognize it.
He's a pretty racy guy. Let's see. Lakeith Stansfield for Judas and the Black Messiah, Best Director. This is always a fun category. Mm-hmm. We got Thomas Vinterberg for Another Round.
Yeah, that one looks interesting. That's another one that I think we're going to have to rent, but it's Michael Shannon. So it's a Danish film, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
And it's about a group of college students who decide that the only way to be successful in life is to maintain a consistent state of inebriation.
Oh, wow. All right.
And so I think the entire film is... I'm sorry, not Michael Shannon, Mads Mikkelsen.
Oh, yeah, Michael. But I like both those guys, so it's fine. It's fine.
Yes,
I would watch those guys together. Now that you mention it,
I would too. I think it would be too intense, though.
Yeah, might be. I love both those actors. All right, so you got that. You got Emerald Fennell for Promising Young Woman. You got David Fincher for Mank, Les Isaac Chung for Minari, and Chloe Zhao for Nomadland. And the rest are the usual suspects. We won't get into these too much because we don't have a ton of time, but we'll get down to Best Animated Short Film.
Animated is a great one to talk about.
Let's see. Actually, I want the long form. Where is it?
You want the Best Animated Film. Yeah. There it is. Feature Film.
Best Documentary Feature. The only one on there I've seen is Crip Camp, and I really liked it. That's a worthy entry. It's a cool. I don't think
we've seen any of the documentary films yet.
Crip Camp is on Netflix and it's very good.
Cool. I remember you talking about that for a recommendal.
Yeah. Let's see. Why can't I find animation? Oh, here we go. Feature. Onward, Over the Moon, a Shaun of the Sheep movie, Farmageddon, Soul, and Wolfwalkers. Give that to Onward. Also, I'm a little surprised.
Really? Over Soul?
I haven't seen Soul yet, so that's not fair for me to say.
I thought you saw Soul on Christmas. You watched that and Wonder Woman and decided.
We planned on it. Don't you remember this whole story? We got to the end of Wonder Woman and the kid said, "Dad, I don't know if I'm going to watch something emotional right now.
Okay.
It's too emotional." Yeah. And I just have never gotten around to it. So.
Oh, you got to get around to it because it's really, really good.
I really like Onward, though.
Or as Tracy Morgan calls it, Sowl.
He got it.
By the way, quick. Thanks to Dice Tomato for correcting me. Kaluuya wasn't M'Baku. Wilson Duke played M'Baku. Kaluuya played Wakabi, Okoye's husband.
Oh, gotcha.
In Black Panther. Still in Black Panther, but not the character. I thought that was confusing.
Gotcha. The big sadness about the Defy Bloods not getting a bunch of proper noms, and as everybody was sure that this would be the moment that... Delroy Lindo would get a Best Supporting Actor nomination.
Yeah.
And it didn't happen, which is a bummer. I'm still going to watch that movie, and I'm going to like it. So take that, Oscar nomination people. You and your dumb contests. All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Bill Duran will be here, joining us, talking about the world of makers and making things. And after that, that'll be about it, because I have a meeting today. Steve's not here today, which made it a little easier for me to end things a little bit short. But we do have a Monday morning mashup, so stick around for all of that after
and
this.
And I'll be doing something
break.
Fun after the show as well. So we'll talk about
really?
That in a minute as well. Yes.
Oh, okay, we'll play a song now then. What are we going
to
do?
Okay, let's go to a band called The Nomadic. Not Nomadland, but The Nomadic. This is... a band, I want to say they're from, they seem like they're from LA. They've got that kind of LA Valley sound to them. Mm. No, they're Australian. Okay. I'm saying that right now. But they do have that really cool LA, maybe Eagles sound to them. Throwing in a little bit of Georgia soul, REM kind of sound, jangly pop. Anyway, this is a great song called Skater Park from The Nomadic.
Thank you. summer sun. Do you remember what we felt between us?
Las Vegas, it's a great place to go and have fun. But we went there to uncover some of the sneaks, cheaters, and sore losers.
Things didn't go too well for us today. In fact, everyone except me is dead. I'm going to need more people.
Burn in hell, you little green bastard.
This is the Morning Stream.
We're back. Ooh, chat room. Don't say who the hell is Delroy Lindo. You go look him up.
Oh, yeah. We just saw him in the Devil's Advocate.
Yeah. He's
putting a big old bull peen on a table.
You go look him up. He's a great actor. Been around forever, and he is awesome.
He is awesome.
Luke. You disappoint me. Just kidding. Not really. All right. How about Bill?
Bill.
Yeah. He's... not showing up. Oh, there we go. He's I always forget he's Punished Props and not Bill on this thing. So I always screw up and right. Had him wrong. But nonetheless, it's still him, and it'll be him in a second.
Your bat cave's open there, Bill.
Welcome to the show, Mr. Bill Duran, all the way from the Pacific Northwest and the studios of PunishedProps.com. Bill, welcome back to the show.
Good morning.
Good Hello. Morning to you, sir. I thought of you yesterday because.
Oh yeah.
I don't even know if I'm going to play it. Okay, but Skyrim has been on everything, right?
Just oh yeah,
been everywhere. And now that Microsoft had their deal go through officially for buying Bethesda for $7.5 billion, they flooded their Game Pass service with all of their greatest hits, and one of them, of course, is Skyrim Enhanced Edition. And now it's sitting on my Xbox Series X, where I'll probably never play it, but it's there. And I thought of you because I went, you know, there's some cool swords in this. I might get in here again. And I think of you when I think of Skyrim for some reason. You're just permanently attached to that game.
I understand completely. Yeah. Yes. I've done some costumes.
Yep.
I played it 2 months ago again for the fifth time.
Really? Wow.
You're Draugr.
I don't even have time to play the games I just bought.
Well, neither do I. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm still so far behind, but I was like, no, I just had to scratch that itch again.
That game is still one of the great things ever. It's just, you know, it's a seminal moment in video games and continues just to keep coming around for a lot of people who love it. But anyway, I thought of you and your tiny Draugr helmet that doesn't fit me. All right. Bill, let's get into it today. You come on the show and talk about stuff you're building, making, and otherwise talking about. Let's do that today. What do you got?
Yeah, today I want to talk about some tools that I got from an old barn.
What?
Yeah.
Wait, just whose barn? Just like an old, just a barn?
No, I know the people who own it.
Oh,
good.
So a couple years ago, Brittany and I were visiting home, and we were at Brittany's family's house. And her grandfather her grandfather isn't around anymore, but he had a dairy farm and a couple of barns. And one of the barns has since been dismantled, but the other one was fixed up, and Brittany's mom sort of cleaned it up and everything, painted it. It looks really nice. And everything that this farm has used as a tool for like 60 or 70 years was put in that barn. Mm-hmm. And no one uses it.
Yeah.
It's just been sitting there. It's been tidied up. Like I said, Britt's mom sort of organized everything, but it's not a working farm anymore. There's someone that comes and like mows the place and everything, but they don't really use it very much. So we were given permission to poke around.
Rummage.
And if there were any tools that we thought we would use, we could take them.
Oh, wow.
Cool.
Yeah.
That seems rad. Like,
it really is. Okay. Yeah.
I would want to do that. And I don't even use tools for anything.
Oh, yeah. And it is such a cool place to explore. Everything in it is way older than me. Everything.
Mm.
Like the tools, the dust is older than I am.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I love that kind of stuff. Like just you feel like you're in a historical shrine. Like who even...
But everything in there, that place was used.
Yeah.
Everything is old and weathered and rusty and dusty and chipped and scratched. It's so cool.
Yeah.
So we looked around. I spent a day there myself. I just put on my headphones and just poked around and organized and sorted and cleaned some stuff. I found a giant welder and a torch that I couldn't bring home because it was too big.
Yeah.
There were lots of electric motors and pulleys and belts. I think a lot of tools and a lot of parts on like tractors ran with these old motors because there were dozens of them.
Oh yeah, and those belts were everywhere back then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, hanging from the rafters, there were countless belts,
yeah.
And I imagine that's because everything there was used to maintain tractors and stuff.
Why is it when I'm picturing you going through this barn, I can see the light peering through the cracks between the wood. I can hear creepy music. I can hear an old man saying, "I hope you don't find a dead body." Like I can hear all this.
It was exactly like that. It was so cool.
Yeah.
So you know how you guys probably have like a jar, like an old peanut butter jar with like nuts and bolts in it, like all the sort of stuff.
Yeah, sure.
Imagine if you had like 1,000 times that. That's what we found.
Wow.
Like a wall of old ammo containers, right?
Ooh.
Each one of them full of a different size nut and or bolt. And there were dozens of these ammo containers.
Ammo boxes are so freaking cool. I'd love
them. Yes, they are.
Yeah. So now you have those. You got a bunch of the boxes and the stuff that was in them. right?
Oh, totally. Yeah. Well, I didn't take the nuts and bolts. I already have my own collection that I have to organize in my shop.
Yeah.
There were also huge socket wrenches for, like, working on tractors, which I didn't take because I don't own any nuts that big. Like, this is so cool.
Yeah.
And then I also found several lathes. But I also already own a couple of lathes, so I didn't take those.
Several lathes in the barn? Like multiple?
At least three.
Jeez.
Yeah.
What a treasure trove.
Old wood lathes.
So when this place was active, I mean, what were they doing in there? Just cutting up wood and farming and I don't know.
Well, they had to repair everything. Everything, a lot of stuff needed to be fixed from scratch. So any wooden thing you could throw in that lathe and replicate it, like a handle of a tool or something.
Yeah.
We did take some stuff, and here's what I want to list the stuff that we took. We could only take things that we were going to use, right? I didn't want to take stuff just because I thought it was cool. I did take a couple things that I thought they were cool, but nothing too substantial.
But I didn't want to, but yeah, I didn't want to.
Mostly I only took stuff we could use.
Okay.
Also, we had to get these things from upstate to New York to Seattle, Washington.
Oh,
and
yeah.
We flew.
Yeah.
So ultra heavy things like an anvil, which I really wanted and I would actually use, I couldn't bring.
Yeah.
Or a vice or just large standing vise that I really wanted, but it weighed, you know, 300 pounds.
Yeah, that's jeez. Not like that isn't even like a dedicated suitcase. Well, we'll just have to put the anvil in the suitcase.
Yeah, oh, it's okay. We'll just check that 300 pound vise.
Exactly, right.
Yeah.
And we did end up mailing a bunch of stuff home, but we had to limit it to like a couple of boxes. And even then, the it cost like $70 to mail one of those boxes because it was full of a bunch of metal stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I did find a set of taps. Now, I at the time, I only had a very small collection of taps. Now I have every Imperial tap I could ever
want. What isn't it? Hold on. For those who are dumb like me, what's a tap? I don't even know what that is.
So if you have a hole that you want to put a thread in so that you can screw something into it,
yeah.
A tap is like a kind of like a drill bit, but instead of drilling a hole, it cuts the thread for your screw or bolt.
Okay. Oh, okay. It's like a starter. It's like a what am I trying to say? It's like it gets you going. It's if the screw
kind of
like an awl kind of thing where it starts. Yeah.
But it cuts the threads though for the screw. So you have a smooth hole that you drilled through, let's say a piece of metal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The tap will cut the threads into the wall of that hole.
Gotcha,
so that
gotcha.
When you put a screw into it, it actually engages and threads into it.
Gotcha. Okay.
Super useful for all manner of stuff. And I found a full set that I sent home. And it looked like it wasn't brand new. It looked like it was 40 years old, but it looked like it had never been used. And then I found a box of just loose taps, probably a couple hundred of them. So what I did was I took them out, organized them into each different size.
Yeah.
I took half of them because I'll actually use them. The other half I left organized back in case someone else in the family needs some taps. I didn't need all of them. There were so many. I found some ratcheting wrenches that were really useful. A lot of little small bits and stuff.
Yeah.
Like I found a drill bit for a flat screw, but it had a collar around it to hold the head of the screw so that your flat screw head doesn't slide out of it.
Oh, that's cool.
So you use it with a power drill.
Yeah. The old people knew about those tricks. The old ones.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I found a really cool old wrench that I'll never use. Like, it's square. It's not hexagon. It's so old. Mm-hmm. The open end part of it is just a square. It's awesome. So I did take that, and I cleaned it up and restored it.
What was the weirdest thing you had to take through TSA? If you had to pick one.
It all ended up getting mailed, I think.
Oh, okay. You didn't take any, you didn't have like one single little bit or part you took with you just to see if you could squeeze it through the.
I don't think so. I don't like to test my the limits of the TSA.
No.
I've already lost I've already lost at least one Leatherman to the TSA, so I don't like to chance those things.
I lost an external 2.5-inch external hard drive that didn't have anything on it. It was brand new, but they wouldn't let me take it.
Oh,
yeah, stupid. They just kept it and sold it or whatever they do when they keep stuff. So, yeah, I don't, I think they maybe wouldn't be so bad about that now, but in 2009 or whatever it was, they were real picky about hard drives for some reason.
Yeah, that's weird.
Even though I was
my
like,
my Leatherman, I gave it, I don't know if she took it, the TSA lady, I was like, okay, I realize I can't take this with me, but I can give it to you.
Right.
So it's yours now.
Yeah. Happy birthday. Yeah, well done. But I mean, I had the worst thing about that trip is I had a computer in there, like a notebook in there with the hard drive in the notebook. Right. So it had its own hard drive.
What?
Why that one's fine and this other external isn't, I couldn't figure it out. It was really weird.
It was weird.
But it was also given to me, so I didn't get that worked up about it. Like, it wasn't, didn't cost me anything. It had no data on it. I wasn't that worked, you know, I wasn't sad, but I was,
wasn't going to change the direction of your business, this one.
No,
was going to turn things around for you.
It was really, really a showstopper for me. But anyway, whoever ended up with that, congratulations. You got a free hard drive. That's probably too small now. Anyway.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. So have you already put all this crap to work and to use? And
absolutely. Yeah. I use those taps all the time. I use the wrenches a lot.
Yeah.
It was cool. And I want to go back, like, at the end of the pandemic, whatever that is, I want to go on a road trip and drive around the country and head home with a vehicle, partially because I want to stuff that vehicle with more heavy tools.
Yeah,
there you go.
You might finally get that damn, you'll get that anvil home. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, baby.
And I wanted to say, point out too, like, from the outside, the barn, you would never guess that it has a treasure trove of tools on the inside. And it's not like the stuff in there is worth a ton of money. It's not really, but it is worth a lot if you're the kind of person who would actually use those tools. They are valuable because they're useful.
Yeah.
So if you've got a family member with a barn, ask them if you could poke around.
Yeah.
Around and it'd be safe, probably old and rusty and dangerous, but look for some. People undervalue a good wrench. Like, people really do undervalue tools sometimes, and you might be able to score some really great stuff for no money at all.
And if you find a body, keep it to yourself. I don't mean keep the body. I mean just
Yeah.
Well, don't say anything. Sure. Yeah. That's all.
But what happens in Newark Valley, New York, stays in Newark Valley, New York.
That's right. I've always loved everything I ever saw in movies or otherwise about upstate New York, kind of the farmery sort of, still sort of nature kissed everything. Is it still like that up there? You know, like, mostly, unless you go to Buffalo or something.
It's good. It's really good. One of the last times we flew into Binghamton.
Yeah.
And it was really nice. It's nearer to Brittany's family than mine. Except it was really hard to ignore all of the meth billboards.
Oh.
Yeah.
Huge. Lots of people selling meth up there and using some great expensive advertising to do it.
Well, Brian, when you're stuck in traffic and you got nothing else to look at, you may as well have a billboard telling you what kind of meth you should get.
Yeah. Exactly. Yes.
I so I know I love upstate New York. I grew up there. I don't love the winters so much anymore, but there's a couple of weeks in the summer where, man, just fabulous.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll bet. Well, what's with the meth thing though? Is it just a big problem going on? Like,
upstate New York. I only know about this in just by hearing about it, but, a lot of methamphetamines and what was opioids? The crisis went right through the state.
Wow.
It was crazy.
I did not know that. Okay.
And I didn't realize it until I landed and saw a giant sign that was like, yo, are you hooked on meth? We got a clinic for you. And I was like, welcome home. Weird.
Yeah, maybe they could get a governor who's not harassing ladies all the time, and he could take care of that upstate a little bit. Quit worrying about the city. Worry about the freaking country folk a bit. How about that?
Exactly.
There you go.
Well, Bill, it's this is good stuff, as always, and may your anvil arrive at one point or another. The nice thing about an anvil, it has a way of anchoring you wherever you are. Like, you may never
leave.
That's true, how it was in the old days, because nobody moved around. So they just had an anvil, and you never left it. But if you're going to move a lot, don't get an anvil, I guess.
Odds are good I'll own an anvil before I own a house.
Yeah.
And that wherever that anvil ends up, that's where I'll live. I'll just live near it. So I never have to move it again.
Yeah, just somewhere within driving distance of your anvil.
There we go.
That's life. Hey, you have a bonus link for us this week?
Absolutely. I have a video from Flight Test. I really like those guys. I just, total side note, just realized that I've been playing a lot of Valheim, and I do always live very close to my anvil so I can repair all my stuff. Anyway, the videos from Flight Test, they have a 120 mile per hour RC plane that they put an FPV camera in, and then they built a little cockpit to simulate flying in a plane, only they're it's bananas. They have like VR goggles on so they can watch the whole, like his vision looks like he's sitting in the cockpit of a tiny airplane that's going 120 miles per hour.
That's cool.
It's amazing. Yeah. It's just a really fun little rig they made.
Oh, that's awesome. Do they do, so is their channels all about remote control RC planes and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah,
are
yeah.
Are these the guys that did the drone Millennium Falcon?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. 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 That's why
I thought I recognized their huge landscape around there.
Yeah, they own a golf course. They fly all around this golf course. It's really cool.
They own a golf course. Did I hear that right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yes, they do.
All right. Is that YouTube money that bought that golf course, or did they already have a golf course?
No, they crowdfunded the whole thing a few years ago. I don't know the whole story, but it's really cool and compelling.
I want to buy a golf course. That's what I want.
I know.
Yeah.
I want to sit in the cockpit of a tiny plane like that in VR, not for reals, and fly 120 miles per hour. That seems really cool.
Yeah,
that's
above really my cool. golf course. That's where I want to fly it. All right, that's amazing. Go check them out on YouTube. The site is Flight Test, F-L-I-T-E, test. And just to make things confusing, I guess, is why they named themselves that. That's fine. Mm-hmm. Whatever they want to do. Hey, Bill Duran, it's you're up there at punishprops.com, so you guys can go check that out. And, of course, the Punish Props YouTube channel, always available for perusal.
Mm-hmm.
Have a fantastic week. We'll see you next time.
See ya.
See ya.
All right.
The shots from the cockpit of this thing are incredible.
And when it's spinning, how is he not just Ralphing? Oh, my gosh.
I know. I'd be doing the same thing.
I would just hurl. Ugh.
Do you get to buzz a guy on the green at on the fourth hole? This,
yeah. Also, if you own a golf course, do you own a like visitor center / you know like clubhouse? Yeah. Like all of that, is that all part of this deal? I want to know. More.
Imagine. I mean, you know, there are some golf courses, at least here in Colorado, there's some really nice ones, and then we've got some ones that look like they're owned by a couple of guys who make drones. Yeah. So.
Yeah, that's a fair point. It's probably nothing fancy.
They're not all like, they're not all Mar-a-Lago, Scott.
No. All right. Well, on that note.
This thing's in a spin. Jeez.
I know. It's too much. And he's just sitting there chilling. I don't know how he's doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. I couldn't do it.
He's got special guts. All right. Hey, Monday morning mashup time. This is called the workout regimen. Hmm. And I don't know what to expect. So here you go.
They're all mixed up. They don't know what to do. All mixed up. Don't know what to do.
Stick it in your butt. And then you go do 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 do. All right, well done.
Lucky SOB.
Lucky piece of chit. So enjoy your life as a puppet spelled P-U-P-E-T-T. So no double P.
Pupet.
Pupet. Yeah, so enjoy your life as a pupet of the leftists and doing their biddings. I don't like naked ladies. Sorry. I do like naked ladies.
That word isn't in there. Pupets of the leftists.
Pupets.
Pupets.
Yeah.
What kind of chips you putting in my arm?
Yeah, is this one that'll track me or stop me if I do something you don't like? What kind of... Does this erase
my memory?
And
why all of a sudden do I have a southern accent?
Because we like to stereotype our southern accented folk.
The fact that you took the time out of your day to reach out to us and say howdy.
Yeah. By default makes him not a pupet of the leftists. You could finger it, Brian. You could put your finger in it.
Can finger it? Great. Yeah, you can finger it. Good.
Yeah, that's where I'll leave that.
That's where you decide to leave.
Yeah, I'll stop there.
I was thinking about going up and doing the ding-dong ditch, and then if nobody answered, flashing my genitals in their ring cam. Oh, Bill, can I join you?
Gonna pull out the old tape measure. Gonna wrap it around and get a circumference and get a length, a width, a height.
A turd? Sweet!
Brian Dunaway, have a fantastic day.
No.
No.
No, I thought that was gonna be more there.
Yeah, I did too.
I ain't taking no vaccine that's got chips in it. Gonna track me.
So I think we're finding another word that you pronounce differently than I do. Because it sounds like you're saying a bull.
A bull.
A bull.
Oh, what would you say? A bowel? A bowl?
Bowl. A bowl.
A bowl.
But it sounds like you were of saying a bull.
So like B-U-L-L, bull. Bull. Here's what you should do. You should exercise right before you get the shot. Then you get the shot in whatever arm you decide. And then you exercise right after you get your second shot.
I was told just to exercise the one arm that I'm getting the shot in. So I've got a whole day planned.
I don't want to know what, though. I really don't. I don't want to know what that regimen is. Regimen going to come from? Where is it happening? Yeah.
There's where it comes from, right there. Working well regimen.
Good job, Jamie. As always, we love your mashups. Those coming, we appreciate it. It was fun looking at the cat during the thing as well.
Yeah, she's unamused by the mashups. Well, she doesn't get it. She doesn't know the references.
Nothing we can do to make that cat get excited about it. That's just the way of cats.
She's cat loaf right now. She's just a loaf of cat.
Indeed. That's going to do it for today's show, by the way. The cat would want you to head on over to patreon.com/TMS and support the show, because that is how it stays on the air, literally on the backs of our listeners. So please do that today if you haven't already. That's patreon.com/TMS. We are midway through the month. Perfect time as any. Frogpants.com/TMS for everything else you might need in relation to us. It's all there. All of it. All the links you're thinking in your head right now you don't have, they're all there. So go check it out. And email us while you're at it, themorningstream@gmail.com. Brian's going to play a song now so that we can go.
I am. And just a quick note, right after TMS today, I will be firing up coverville.tv and doing Guess the Connection. I had to bump because Twitch was having issues on Friday, so I couldn't do the show Friday. But I can do it today, and I'm going to. So right after TMS, right after we're done with titles, I'll fire up that stream.
Awesome. And we'll do a raid and everything. So once, in fact, you should start it, and then we'll raid it in real time.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. That seems like it could make things go wrong with me having Streamlabs open while I'm doing this.
I don't know. Will it? I have no idea.
We'll find out, won't we?
We might find out. All right.
I'll start that during the title time. Not going to do it while we're... Love the business here. All right, let's get to a request. This one going out to Paul Gagier. I think I'm pronouncing that incorrectly. AKA Jigger Dad in our chat room, the guy that I play D&D with. Or played back in 2020. We haven't started up a new game in 2021. Mm. Dear Soft and Bubbly, March 15th is my 38th birthday, which is pretty much the demarcation for the full-scale start of the pandemic here in Canada. School was canceled this weekend last year, and 1 week later, I was laid off for 4 months. This has kind of been messing with my head, and I need some changes. Hopefully, this can be a fresh start for a new me rest of this year. To kick it off, I'm requesting a song from the Melodica Brothers, as they've been a great follow since I discovered them last year. Any of their cyberpunk covers would be great, or any of their other flipped feeling songs. Don't forget to get a tender crisp bacon cheddar ranch for lunch. And love the show, though. Signed, Jigger Dad.
The tender crisp bacon cheddar ranch.
Yeah,
these guys are great. The Melodica Brothers. I support them on Patreon because they crank out so much great content. They do a series of cyberpunk songs where they cover songs with more of a cyberpunk feel. They do songs where they change the feel of a song, either make Enter Sandman into a happy song or make Don't Worry, Be Happy into a really sad song, doing stuff like that. Really cool. But we're going to go cyberpunk today. We're going to go with one that I know you love as much as I do, Scott. Mm. Here's their cover of Toto's Africa. Oh. Here are the Melodica Brothers.
Awesome. Big surprise I was not aware of. Fantastic. That'll do it for us. Thank you all for being here. We'll be back tomorrow with more. We'll see you then.
Only whispers of some quiet conversation. She's coming in 12:30 flight. Her moonlit wings reflect the stars that guide me towards salvation. I stopped an old man along the way, hoping to find some more forgotten words or ancient melodies. turned to me as if to say, hurry boy, it's waiting there for you. It's gonna take a lot to drag me away from you. There's nothing that 100 men or more could ever do. I bless the rains down in Africa. Gonna take some time to do the things we never had. The wild dogs cry out in the night as they grow restless, longing for some solitary company. I know that I must do what's right. Sure as Kilimanjaro rises like Olympus above the Serengeti. I seek to cure what's deep inside, frightened of this thing that I've become. Take a lot to drag me away from you. There's nothing that 100 men or more can do. I've left the rains down in Africa. Gonna take some time to do the things we never had.
Show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
How is your duty?
Pretty good.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.